In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. How much the world has changed in a matter of weeks. We have a new, deeper appreciation for the need to take care of each other, to pray for each other. We can say that this time of prayer on this great feast day is even more special, although every single time we pray is special. Someone put it splendidly by composing a message on a sidewalk in Brooklyn that said very simply, "Be excellent with one another." During these extraordinary moments, each of us feels a special need to anchor ourselves in solid bedrock. How appropriate it is that the Feast of Saint Joseph is here to help us to do precisely that. The image of Joseph, all that we know about him, his titles, speak volumes about solidity, about bedrock. That great title of his, Patriarch, a title, a reality that should get our hearts pounding. That title that Saint Teresa of Avila gave to Saint Joseph, our Father and Lord. That title, so to speak, Master of the Interior Life. We turn to Saint Joseph today with a special sense of need to learn from him even more. We need those stories about him. We don't have many, but the ones we have, they give us great strength. And furthermore, they are stories that are our stories, because they are stories about our family. Saint Jose Maria used to love to say that each of us belongs to that holy family. In this time of prayer, we ask Joseph to enrich our imagination. We want to be able to imagine in greater detail than usual the daunting challenges that he faced and the way in which he responded to those challenges. Because we want to be like him, sturdy, unflappable, filled with faith. These days are quite likely the most serious test we have ever faced. You could say that we are now facing the moment of truth. This is the chance to ask ourselves, well, let's see what kind of stuff I'm made of. Let's see these days how deep my roots are. How firmly planted in solid ground I am, precisely because of my interior life. Take that scene, that moment in the life of Joseph, when he and his young wife Mary were required to make that long voyage to Bethlehem. Anyone else in that situation would have been bewildered, flustered, quite upset with the local, with the king who called for the census. And all the way down during that journey, well, Joseph had every right to be thinking, you know, we know no one there, we have no relatives there in Bethlehem. We've had no time to make the proper preparations. What are we going to do? And yet how beautiful it is for us to imagine that back and forth between Mary and Joseph, each one strengthening the other. Mary looking at her husband, emerging from inn after inn, shaking his head, saying, "There's no room." And Mary giving him that loving glance and saying to him, "Joseph, don't worry. God will provide." And that smile of Joseph, filled with admiration for his wife and agreeing because he knew that God would provide. Then that awful moment shortly after the birth of Jesus, when Joseph was awakened in the middle of the night and told by the archangel to leave immediately for Egypt because the ruler was determined to kill the newborn. Again, an unimaginable time of bewilderment, of doubt. If we didn't know anyone in Bethlehem, we know even fewer in Egypt. We don't know anyone there. We don't know the language. I have no idea how I'm going to provide for my young family. No idea how long we will be there. No idea where we will live. Well, these days we can, in a sense, identify with that simply because we have no idea how long the effects of the COVID-19 are going to last. Which is why we turn to Joseph in this time of prayer and just say to him, "Give me your solidity, your resilience. Give me the capacity to be for all those around me, all those who depend on me, your capacity, your great talent to be for the Holy Family like a giant oak tree." And furthermore, Joseph, bring to my mind again and again these days your image, your stories, because I am determined, along with each one of us here making this time of prayer together, I am determined to turn these adverse circumstances into a very important chapter in my quest for sanctity. These stories, the stories of Joseph and Mary and Jesus, they belong to us and they will provide us with great strength. Not that long ago, some researchers discovered something really interesting and very apropos to these days we are going through now. They were quite struck dealing with a number of people who had been raised on stories, so to speak. That as they were growing up, they heard all sorts of stories about their parents, their grandparents, about really tough times during the Great Depression and World War II. The researchers discovered that those people were able to reach down deep into those stories, into their memories, when they themselves came up against difficult times. The researchers also discovered, dealing with another group of people, another group that really knew nothing about their past. They had no idea where their parents were born, no idea where their grandparents were from. They had never been told stories. And at a moment of crisis, they crumbled. They had no resources. As one of the researchers put it, the ones who knew more about their families proved to be more resilient, meaning that they could moderate the effects of stress. And this researcher went on to say, why does knowing where your grandmother went to school help a child overcome something as minor as a skinned knee or as major as the Great Depression? And the answers have to do with a child's sense of being part of a larger family. This is a very interesting observation on the part of these researchers. And this observation perhaps suggests to us a very interesting thing to do these days, that in many places people are confined to their quarters. And that is to reach out to parents or to children, to grandchildren, and to tell stories, to find ways of getting those stories on paper. There is a big danger that confronts us that is worthwhile speaking to Joseph about in order to eliminate it from any possibility of during these coming days. And that big danger is to lose our bearings, to be thrown off kilter, to end up floundering during the day, day after day, because our routine has dissolved in thin air. We can't let that happen. This is an important opportunity to reframe, which means to see these circumstances as the chance to grow on the inside. Right now we can say to Joseph, we can reassure him that we are determined to turn these circumstances upside down, to take them on head on, as a chance for us to grow in a whole series of virtues. But we have to get very specific, coming up with a strategy in order to accomplish that. In the first place, the importance of a schedule. We cannot underestimate the importance of discipline, of tackling each day one day at a time, determined to make of that day a masterpiece, by imposing on the day a schedule, and doing so with a very professional attitude. We can learn a lot about this from the life of Saint Jose Maria. There were those terrible years, 1936 to 1939, the Spanish Civil War. And during that first part of the war, St. Jose Maria found himself with a few others confined to a small room for months. If that 34-year-old priest had ventured outdoors, he risked execution. Well, thank God we will not come anywhere near that. But still, we can learn an awful lot. The founder's intense interior life provided him with such supernatural energy and a vision of faith that he managed to transform the daily life of those with him into a time of genuine interior growth. He established a daily schedule that included time for prayer and study. Each person there in that small room was assigned a foreign language to learn. Because even in the midst of those terrible circumstances, the founder was already looking ahead to what would come after the end of the war, when the expansion of Opus Dei would continue. And so each person was given either Japanese or German or English to learn as preparation for the eventual resumption of those activities and the expansion to distant lands. Well, finally, in 1937, Saint Jose Maria and a very small band of his followers finally had the chance to escape to freedom, which involved a very difficult trek across the Pyrenees in the dead of winter. Even then, the founder, buoyed by his interior life, even though he was physically greatly weakened by months of deprivation, he found a way to inject joy, a sense of humor. There was a moment during that crossing of the Pyrenees when they were able to stop for a few hours. They had a whole day to rest. They were in a safe area. And so the founder created a very amusing episode. We read, "To lift their spirits, the father jovially announced that there would take place on that day a general constitutive assembly, opening in mid-morning under his honorable presidency. Its purpose was none other than to distribute duties and set a schedule for work and for the norms of piety. The following schedule was unanimously approved. Rise 7 a.m., prayer 7:15, Holy Mass 7:45, the preces, or the prayers of Opus Dei, then breakfast, the joyful mysteries of the Rosary, followed by gathering wood, walking, etc. At noon, the Angelus and the Sorrowful Mysteries. Then lunch, visit to the Blessed Sacrament there in the midst of the woods. Go for a walk. 5 p.m., prayer and reading the newspaper. 7 p.m., conference. Then supper, the Glorious Mysteries. 10 p.m., examination of conscience. Resolutions. Even now, in our own time of prayer, we can be thinking of the importance for today of this approach to life. And right now we can ask Joseph to help us to come up with a list of those activities, those tasks, perhaps those projects, that if we tackle them, can help our own life, of our own pursuit of sanctity, to take a big step forward, not to mention helping other people. Just to finish this small anecdote, those who were there soon came to appreciate the importance of that schedule as a mainstay of discipline, a defense against idleness and discouragement, and a means of bolstering optimism. We were thinking earlier of the importance of being excellent with each other. Well, there is something very deep that underlies that, because as Catholics, our concern for each other is profound. It has deep roots that go back to the first Christians, and it is bolstered by the communion of saints, of which we are a part. This is not simply a matter of sentiment, but rather it stems from a true sense of responsibility for each other. During these confusing times, we need to escalate our efforts to remain close to all those at risk from the virus. As well, we feel for those whose source of livelihood is threatened, to those whose retirement savings are at risk, to the millions of students whose studies have been thrown into doubt. And so we turn to Joseph and say, what are we to do? We can check in with folks who may be alone, who may have suffered with depression or anxiety. Anything to say to them that we care about them, knowing that by simply reaching out to them, we can restore their optimism. We can find different ways of reminding people how at these moments our faith is so important, viewing these events with supernatural spirit, reminding them that God is in control and that He cares for all of us. Each of us can find ways of showing our gratitude for all those health workers who are working really around the clock, tirelessly and putting themselves at risk. All those who continue to serve us in a variety of ways. The garbage collectors, people taking care of mass transit. Each night in the news, we're seeing scenes of grocery stores with empty shelves. It would be very interesting to see a report made during the all night of those who are restocking those shelves. And right now we can, in our own prayer, give thanks for them, those unsung heroes. All those people who put themselves at risk every day to ensure the liveliness, the livelihood of so many others. These are days for us to stay the course. In shipping, there is that expression, stay the course, full speed ahead. Do not lose momentum. We ask Joseph to show us how to do that. Turning to another story, because we need these stories, and turning again to the Spanish Civil War. There's the story, the very small but significant episode in the life of Álvaro del Portillo, who at the moment that this story takes place in 1938, Álvaro was all of 24 years old. And he had been in Opus Dei for less than 3 years. He and a couple of others, they found a way to escape over the Pyrenees some months after St. Jose Maria had escaped. Towards the end of that long trek, that very difficult passage over the Pyrenees, the three of them came across a hut in the middle of the woods. They stopped, they surveyed the situation. They feared, they suspected, that hut might house soldiers who could end up taking them prisoners. And so before taking another step, they decided to consume the sacred hosts that they had been carrying. And before continuing on, Álvaro made out loud an act of thanksgiving for his own interior life and also to strengthen the lives, the spirits of the others with him. And he said to them, Given the fact that the Lord has shown so much attention and cared for us so closely in all of this enterprise, this effort of ours to escape, the first thing we have to do is to reassure him and reassure ourselves of the truth of this call of ours to Opus Dei. We make, and hereby make, a very firm resolution to correspond, giving ourselves to this vocation completely, with making of ourselves a total gift. Well, then those three continued. They discovered that the huts were empty. So they settled down for the night, and significantly, we read in the diary of that day that they finished the day by praying the prayers of Opus Dei. Then they ate some acorns and slept. Those acorns represented the meal for that day. We asked Don Alvaro, Blessed Alvaro, to fill us with these, well, with this resilience of his. Well, finally, Our Lady. Mary, we ask you to fill us with stories, which is a way of saying, help us to maintain this supernatural vision. This vision that comes from our life of faith. These days, we are approaching Holy Week. These are days also to keep in our mind those stories of Our Lady of you, Mary, during your Son's Passion. We finish with a wonderful point from Furrow, a small book by St. Jose Maria. When the apostles had scattered, and the enraged mob made themselves hoarse, shouting angrily at Jesus, the Holy Virgin Mary followed close behind her Son along the streets of Jerusalem. She did not draw back when the crowd cried out, nor did she leave our Redeemer alone when each person, anonymous in that procession, was in his cowardice emboldened to ill-treat Christ. Call on her with all your strength, Virgo Fidelis, Virgin most faithful, and ask her that those of us who call ourselves God's friends may truly be so at all times. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.